This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Taking to Twitter on Tuesday to announce a decision that impacts 800,000 de facto Americans, Donald Trump ended DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which allowed young undocumented immigrants to defer deportation and study and work in the U.S. Trump's Attorney General Jeff Sessions followed the tweet with a letter from the Justice Department to the Department of Homeland Security, calling DACA, quote, an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws and, quote, an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the Obama administration. DHS will no longer be accepting new DACA applications and would phase out within 6 months, during which Trump said it is up to Congress to take legislative action. Here is what Mr. Sessions had to say on Tuesday morning about the rescinding of DACA.
The program was implemented in 2012 and essentially provided a legal status for recipients for a renewable two-year term, worker authorization, and other benefits, including participation in the Social Security program, to 800,000 mostly adult illegal aliens. The policy was implemented unilaterally to great controversy and legal concern after Congress rejected legislative proposals to extend similar benefits on numerous occasions to this same group of illegal aliens. In other words, the executive branch, through DACA, deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch specifically refused to authorize on multiple occasions. Such an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws was an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the executive branch. The effect of this unilateral executive amnesty, among other things, contributed to a surge of minors at the southern border that yielded terrible humanitarian consequences. It also denied jobs to hundreds of thousands of Americans by allowing those same illegal aliens to take those jobs. The Department of Justice has advised the President and the Department of Homeland Security that the Department of Homeland Security should begin an orderly, lawful wind down, including the cancellation of the memo that authorized this program. Acting Secretary Duke has chosen appropriately to initiate a wind down process. This will enable the Department of Homeland Security to conduct an orderly change and fulfill the desire of this administration to create a time period for Congress to act, should it so choose, ending the previous administration's disrespect for the legislative process is an important first step. Failure to enforce the laws in the past has put our nation at risk of crime, violence, and terrorism. Under President Trump's leadership, this administration has made great progress in the last few months toward establishing a lawful and constitutional immigration system. This the substantial progress in reducing illegal immigration at our border seen in recent months is almost entirely due to the leadership of President Trump and his inspired immigration officers. But the problem is not yet solved. And without more action, we could see illegality rise again rather than be eliminated.
Those are some excerpts from the speech given by Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Tuesday morning, announcing the end of DACA. We turn now to Joshua Stelick, supervising attorney with the National Immigration Law Center. Welcome to the program, Joshua.
Thank you, Sonali.
So first of all, I suppose we shouldn't be surprised that this announcement happened, given the threat from a number of attorneys generals in Republican-dominated states to sue the federal government if Trump didn't end DACA. Also, of course, this is red meat for Trump's base. What do you make of how the attorney general is saying DACA will end, that no new applications now, and then a phasing out in 6 months so that Congress can act? What does this mean exactly?
Well, I will start by saying we are deeply disappointed here at the National Immigration Law Center that President Trump has not honored his prior statements from earlier this year that Dreamers should rest easy and that he will take care of Dreamers by announcing the winding down or termination of the DACA program as Attorney General Sessions did on Tuesday. We had hoped and had urged the president to stand by those words and to stand by a program that has helped nearly 800,000 young people maximally contribute to their communities, to our national economy, and to realizing their dreams. So we are bitterly disappointed. In terms of the announcement itself, there are several aspects to it. So first, Attorney General Sessions announced, DHS has now put out on its website both a statement as well as a set of frequently asked questions about the announcement. But first, that the memo authorizing the original 2012 DACA program is hereby rescinded, and that DHS will engage in what Attorney General Sessions deemed an orderly wind down of the program. So DHS will not accept initial DACA applications beyond those that were already received by DHS on September 5th, 2017.
So September 5th was the last day for new applicants to be able to submit paperwork.
Yes. And those had to be applications that DHS had received as of September 5th,
2000. I see.
In terms of renewals, it gets a little bit more complicated. DHS will process renewals that had been received by USCIS as of September 5th, 2017. And then DHS will also accept renewals for individuals whose current grant of DACA expires between September 5th, 2017 and March 5th, 2018. So if someone is currently in DACA status and their expiration date is between September 5th, 2017 and March 5th, 2018, they will be able to apply for a renewal as long as USCIS receives that renewal application by October 5th, 2017. So that gives current grantees who have an expiration date within that time window roughly 3 to 4 weeks to submit a renewal such that it will be received by DHS by the cutoff date of October 5th.
Now, is that renewal a standard thing? And if so, how long would that renewal last? Do we know whether that particular DACA recipient will be able to have the status for a certain amount of time if they get their renewal application in?
Yes, it looks like if someone timely submits the renewal and continues to meet the eligibility criteria for the program, it does look like they will be renewed for an additional 2 years, as has been the case since the inception of the program in 2012. So folks who have an expiration in that window of September 5th of this year to March 5th of next year will have the opportunity to renew.
And then now, those who have the expiration date past March 5th of next year, they're out of luck.
They are out of luck. And we have already received calls this morning from individuals who have a current expiration date of March 9th. Of April of 2018. So you can see that just a matter of days can mean a significant difference as to whether someone will be able to renew or not.
Wow. And so basically you have a subset of people who might be safe for 2 more years, another subset who might be safe till it expires, their status expires sometime next year, and then a whole bunch of folks who have no recourse whatsoever because they were getting ready to apply. And then, of course, other undocumented immigrants for whom Congress has no plans. So What does this mean now for those people who have, that the government has their details? Because this was the big fear when people began applying for DACA and the personal decision that young immigrants had to make. Do you turn over information to the government with the risk that the government may someday use that information against you, or do you remain in the shadows?
Yes, and the FAQs that were released by DHS today do include two questions about confidentiality that appear to follow fairly closely the confidentiality policy that has been articulated by USCIS, and that's reflected on the USCIS DACA FAQs on the USCIS website. And that essentially says that DHS or USCIS rather will not share personally identifying information of DACA recipients to ICE or to CBP, which are the two divisions of DHS that engage in immigration enforcement, for immigration enforcement purposes, except in very specific enumerated exceptions. However, the FAQs do also reiterate language that is also on the USCIS DACA FAQ website, but that says that that policy may be modified, revoked, or changed at any time and doesn't create an enforceable right for a DACA recipient. So I think there is still concern about how the confidentiality policy will be followed and that it will remain in place going forward to protect the upwards of 800,000 individuals who came out of the shadows, provided their personal identifying information to USCIS based on the promise that the federal government made that that information would not be used for enforcement purposes against them.
Now, these folks, these 800,000 or so young undocumented immigrants, dreamers as they call themselves, many of them are in the middle of getting an education or have jobs or driver's licenses because they were enrolled in DACA. Does all of this now hang in the balance? You know, for those people whose registration expires, does it mean that they lose their jobs? Does it mean that they might lose some financial aid or ability to attend college?
It certainly puts them at risk for losing employment. The legal obligation is on employers to ensure that their workers are authorized to work in the United States. When DACA recipients were hired, like any other worker, presumably they filled out an I-9 employment eligibility verification form and presented evidence of their identity and their work authorization. And that information then is retained by the employer. An employer should not be rechecking anyone's work authorization based on today's announcement, because today's announcement does not immediately terminate any existing grants of DACA.
That's but a really important point.
Yes, so there should be no need for employers to be rechecking their workers' work authorization at this point. However, when their current expiration date does obtain, the employer will then presumably at that point ask to see proof of continued work authorization. And if the individual is not able to present that, then the employer will most likely terminate that worker. And he or she, if she's not been able to obtain a new work authorization or work permit, will unfortunately be unauthorized to work in the U.S.
Now, Dreamers have been a sort of political football as of undocumented people as a whole. We should remember that it was in the absence of, or rather the inaction in Congress during the Obama administration that led President Obama to put DACA into place. Some people want to give him credit. Others say, he really would never have done it had it not been for the pressure from Dreamers. And now Trump is saying that this is up to Congress. I mean, he announced on Twitter, not on his president's Twitter account, but his personal Twitter account, "Congress, get ready to do your job - DACA exclamation point. And Ian Sessions' letter and announcement to the public about the rescinding of DACA, he basically said that it's up to Congress to legislate this action that was this executive action by Obama. But if Congress does go ahead and put DACA into law, make it law, will Trump sign it? I mean, Trump could still veto it because that's what his base wants him to do, right? He wants to reward his nativist base that is anti-immigrant.
I mean, I think that's a very good point, Sonali. I mean, number one, getting a clean bill through a GOP-led Congress is no easy task. We certainly hope that today's announcement will galvanize Congress to act. There are multiple different pieces of legislation that have been introduced in this Congress that would provide some form of legalization, in some cases up to and including a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers or DACA recipients. And we would certainly hope that something that the Dream Act will move through Congress. However, this is a GOP-controlled Congress. We have seen repeatedly, including with the 2013 bipartisan immigration reform bill, which the GOP-led House refused to take up, that immigration reform will be difficult, I think. We do hope that we will see something move through Congress, and then we would hope that President Trump would act on his promises from earlier this year to take care of DACA recipients so that they could rest easy by signing that. But obviously all of that remains to be seen,
right.
Although I anticipate we will see a huge outpouring of documented individuals and their supporters and their communities coming out,
yeah,
and rallying in support of legislation to regularize the status of DACA recipients and Dreamers.
And already we're seeing on Tuesday lots of actions around the country, including in New York at Trump Tower and other places where people are coming out, DACA recipients and their supporters. Going back to what Jeff Sessions announced, I mean, he basically called DACA an executive unauthorized amnesty, which of course it wasn't. If you want to look at amnesty, you can go back to the hero of conservatives, Ronald Reagan, who did have an actual amnesty law. But the other thing that Sessions said, which indicates that it would be very unlikely that the Trump administration would even support something that Congress does, is Sessions said the effect of this unilateral executive amnesty denied jobs to hundreds of thousands of Americans by allowing those same jobs to go to illegal aliens, quote unquote. What do you make of this, you know?
I mean, we strongly disagree, and I think that the general consensus among economists, is that the economy is not static, and that the economic stimulus that providing work authorization and allowing nearly 800,000 individuals to come out of the shadows to stop working off the books if they were doing so previously and to work with full authorization really stimulates local economies and actually benefits the economy for all of us. So I think that Sessions and his rhetoric around immigrants taking jobs is not accurate and is belied by the majority of economists who've studied the issue.
Yeah, I mean, these are standard conservative talking points that are in line with, you know, so-called men's rights activists talking about women taking jobs meant for them, or white students feeling like people of color were taking spots away from them from college applications. I mean, this is very, very standard. The other thing that Sessions also said was remarkably bring in the issue of terrorism, crime, and violence. He said, failure to enforce laws in the past has put our nation at risk of crime, violence, and even terrorism. I mean, doesn't having undocumented immigrants, actually have some kind of documentation, couldn't that reduce crime?
Yes. I mean, I think that is a complete red herring. I mean, here are 800,000 individuals who've come forth Provided their personally identifying information to the federal government, who've been subject to rigorous background checking, including criminal background checking, and who indeed must not have any significant criminal history on their record in order to be eligible for DACA. So I think that was really a red herring. And in fact, the nation is safer when individuals can come forth and provide information to the federal government and be vetted by the federal government as opposed to remaining in the shadows.
Well, Joshua, where can people find out more information? You know, I'm assuming that Homeland Security's own website has some of those details if they are dealing with DACA applications themselves. But the bigger picture, is there a website for National Immigration Law Center?
Yes, we will be pushing out information. In fact, I've already pushed out a short informational document, and we'll be following up with an FAQ on DACA and employment rights, hopefully by the end of today. And that information can be found at www.nilc, which stands for National Immigration Law Center.org. And I also wanted to plug wearehere2stay.org. Let me make sure I got that right. Yes, wearehere2stay.org, which should be updated with not only information about today's announcement and its implications, but should also have information about how to get involved, how to stand up with side by side with Dreamers to fight for legislative action.
Wearehere2stay.org. We'll post that on our website later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonali.
My guest is Joshua Stelick, supervising attorney with the National Immigration Law Center, and we've been discussing Trump's ending of DACA. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.